Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we talk about the Detroit Lions' first moves as day one of free agency officially kicked off. Plus, we had 2 days of tampering period as well. This includes bringing back players, letting some players go, signing new players, and making a trade. We'll also look briefly at what our competitors around the NFC North are doing. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
This is Jason Gabena with the Detroit Lions, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined today by James Cook, senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on the Get Around podcast. It drops on Mondays. Welcome, James.
Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, James, let's do a quick recap of all the moving parts, then we'll get into the specifics. So if we backtrack to Monday, the Detroit Lions' first move was to bring back guard Graham Glasgow. They brought him back on a 3-year, $20 million move. Big move, great move. Jonath Jackson leaveth on the day that Graham Glasgow stayeth, if you will. Jonath Jackson's leaving on a 3-year, $51 million contract to the LA Rams. Going over the next move, Marcus Davenport was brought in by the Lions on the defensive end, a 1-year, $6.5 million base salary. We know him, the Lions do, from the New Orleans days, but he was with the Vikings last year. And they worked a trade. They traded Carlton Davis. They traded for him from Tampa. He's a defensive back. They got him in for a third-round pick. They also get a sixth-round pick this year and a sixth-round pick next year. And that was Monday. Over to Tuesday, the Lions signed a free agent defensive back, Amik Robertson, from the Raiders. That's a 2-year deal. And they brought back Dan Skipper, offensive lineman. And then C.J. Gardner-Johnson leaves, goes back to Philly for a 3-year, $33 million deal. The three spots we've seen the most movement on the team were offensive line, defensive line, and secondary. Now, today, the Lions formalized the trade because the new year did begin. It appears Brock Wright and James Houston tenders have happened, and that's where we stand with the roster moves. So let's start with the offensive line, James. Graham Glasgow, Dan Skipper are both back. Jonah Jackson is gone. How are you feeling about these moves? Let's just start with that right now.
It's a good contract for Glasgow. I think rewards him, but it's also kind of team friendly. It's not all that expensive of a contract, especially when you see what Jonah Jackson got in free agency. I mean, that's a lot of money for a guard, and the guard market this season was kind of like that. So I kind of expect the Lions to take a guard in the draft at some point, try to kind of save some money there. And if they don't land a guy that they want, they could, you know, try to find a cheap veteran also to come in there and compete with Colby Sorsdahl and Kayode Awashika for the other spot. Awashika is another one of those guys who re-signed one his tender. They've got some bodies in place at guard, but I expect at least one more either draft pick or veteran to be added to that mix at some point in the offseason here.
I like the moves the Lions made. The bringing Graham Glasgow back was the most important move on the offensive line. They got him back for actually what seems like a ridiculously great value once you saw some of those other contracts going out during the day. At his press conference today, Graham Glasgow said he didn't try to get offers from other teams and play it against the Lions. He wanted to get what he wanted, and he wanted to stay in Detroit. And we know about his versatility. We saw how well he played last year. That was amazing. Getting Dan Skipper back, happy about that. That guy found a role in Detroit. And you know how hard of a worker that guy is because we saw how much he tried to get into the league and how he overcame failure after failure. So if for nothing else, I mean, we appreciate that. But then you know there's that fan favorite aspect of anytime that guy reports in a game ever again, the crowd's going to get into it. But yeah, I love having those guys back. Would have loved to have Jonah Jackson back. But I think you and I both knew this, that the contract he was going to likely get was going to be one that was going to price the Lions out of the game. They had offered him a contract before last year started, and it got turned down. So I would say the moves are good, but like you, we both know the left guard position is not yet solidified. I agree. There's very good chance they're going to draft somebody for the offensive line in the draft this year. But I do think they need to make some sort of move on the offensive line yet before the draft, even if it is bringing in a mid-range free agent. I mean, a perfect idea for me is even a guy like Evan Brown, who left last year and went to Seattle. I would like to bring in somebody with starting experience for that left guard position, whether they compete with a rookie we draft or they're penciled in as a starter and we draft somebody or have somebody else as a backup.
Yeah, I think Brown would be a great addition. He would basically slip into the Graham Glasgow role last year, what he was supposed to be, which is that interior lineman who can play both guard spots at center if need be and be that extra flexible offensive lineman. And he'd come reasonable and he knows the system and they know him. So I think that would be a pretty perfect fit right now. But it wouldn't also preclude using a draft pick or signing somebody else to be a starter there at left guard.
Yeah, I agree. And the Lions, you said it right there, he would come at a reasonable price. The Lions aren't going to break the bank for this left guard position because, well, they can't. I mean, they're going to have to pony up for the right tackle position here very soon. And they've already got a lot of money into that offensive line. But we do need some more depth, and we want to know that we have stability going forward because Jonah Jackson went to the Rams. The Rams played us. They saw what type of advantage we had, and I think they wanted to build some of that. And that's important because we know the Detroit Lions offense goes as the offensive line goes, and we need to make sure that is just as solid as last year. I'm going to liken it to our running back situation last year. Coming into the 2023 season, the goal was to not get worse. We actually got better, and that was amazing. And I think that's got to be the goal for the offensive line. It's maintain or get better. And it's hard to get better for how good we were, but we don't want to go backwards.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and you can kind of get away with maybe a guard that's not a, you know, necessarily a plus starter when you've got him in between the likes of Taylor Decker and Frank Ragnow and Penei Sewell. So, you know, you don't have to have five Pro Bowlers across the line.
All right, well, let's cross the line. Let's go over to the defensive line. That's where the Detroit Lions signed defensive end Marcus Davenport. Now, I mentioned it's a one-year deal. It's a $6.5 million base salary. Again, the Lions coaching staff knows him from a few years back in New Orleans when he had a bit of success. He was with the Vikings last year. He was injured. He only played in four games. The interesting thing is the Vikings actually paid him for a contract that could went up to $13 million last year. I don't think he achieved all of it, but it was a pretty hefty one-year deal. Now, he was injured. He probably didn't get all that, but he should at least be a pretty good depth upgrade with some nice potential. I mean, he had 9 sacks back in 2021.
Yeah, he's a player that he's had injury problems over the course of his career. Brad Holmes likes taking gambles on guys having rebound years from injuries. We've seen that a lot with draft picks and in free agency. And he got him for, you know, yeah, a cheap in comparison. I mean, the Saints had to trade up to get him in the first round when they took him. So he cost a lot there. And the Vikings paid a lot to get him in free agency. And then the Lions didn't. And they're hoping to get at least what the production of those two teams got out of him for there. You know, he's a tall, lanky defensive end who's, I don't know, he plays in like the upper 260s, maybe 270-ish. So he can still be a base end. He anchors pretty well against the run. So he's not a liability in either pass rush or run defense. And he can give you some help there in both of them. You know, he can be a very plus player. And the big knock on him has always been durability.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of people have been saying this, right? The Lions like taking players who have had some injuries in their past. And, you know, this is no exception to that. But like you said, they've got familiarity with the guy. They know a little bit about what they're getting. And they're hoping those injuries are you know, healing up and maybe not going to be reoccurring. And so it's a low-risk, high-reward type move. And if anything, it's probably going to replace one of the other guys who – is not going to be on the roster anymore. That was middle to lower end rotational spot.
Yeah. I think he kind of steps in pretty much right for Romeo Aguara. You know, I think he can play that role for sure. Maybe even more snaps than Aguara did, depending on what else the Lions are able to do in the offseason, you know, and the draft. But he has a familiarity with the coaching staff too, because he was in New Orleans. So he was with Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn there. So there's that familiarity. They must know that he's going to fit in this locker room.
Well, and that's big too, because they want to make sure that anybody they bring in is going to be a good fit. And that's it. That's the defensive line moves. Now, you know, a lot of Lions fans were hoping there'd be a big splash here. You know, everybody wanted Wilkins or somebody else that was going to be a really big splash. They wanted Daniil Hunter, right? And Brad Holmes warned us about this. He said, I'm not trying to win in March. I'm looking to win in December. And by extension of December, he meant January and February. And a lot of teams are, or not a lot, some teams are making some big spending moves. But if you look at some of those rosters, guys, they don't have their own players they need to re-sign and pay a lot of money to. So I think that's something to be aware of when we see these big contracts being thrown out there, realizing, you know what, we're going to be paying Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jared Goff, pretty soon Penei Sewell, and then eventually Aiden Hutchinson. And I'm not saying you can't sign anybody, but we have to be aware of that. And the Lions are going to make sure what we're seeing is, so far all the contracts they're doing is, if it doesn't work out, we're not, you know, in this area where we're suddenly, you know, restricted going forward and it hurts us next year because we've got someone with a bad contract that's either not performing or not even on the team anymore. I mean, the Denver Broncos are paying $39 million for Russell Wilson to play for somebody else this year.
Yeah, yeah, the Steelers got him for the league minimum. I guess the other minor move that they did make on the defensive line, they didn't tender Benito Jones, so he's a free agent. I mean, although they could re-sign him. And John Kaminsky renegotiated his contract to save the team a couple million dollars under the salary cap. So he restructured. So those are the small defensive line moves. But other than that, not much there and really no change at all, really, at linebacker, aside from the fact that they didn't tender Anthony Pittman. But again, they could still bring him back as a special teams guy.
Yeah, you know, I forgot to mention that Kaminsky move. Nice move right there. He gave a $2 million pay cut, I believe. And so we saw that happen with some players last year and happy to have him back. I don't know what the conversation was surrounding that, but he's here. He's taken a pay cut and the Lions didn't make a splash on the defensive line, but they do have a meeting set up with DJ Reader. Talk to me a little bit about him.
Yeah, he's a mammoth defensive tackle from the Cincinnati Bengals. Very good run stopper. So if they sign him, it's they're looking to build a strength on a strength on this defense, which was stopping the run last year. But he's also a pretty solid pass rush generator for a defensive tackle. Doesn't get a lot of sacks, but does generate pressures a decent amount up and up the middle, which was one of the problems that the Lions defense had this year, which was not collapsing the pocket up the middle. You know, and allowing some of those mobile quarterbacks to then burst up the middle or move up in the pocket and then burn them. So that's something that he helps do. You know, he helps collapse that pocket a little bit. And so if they got him, that would be a very nice get. And he will probably not be cheap either. He's not going to be breaking the bank you know, like Chris Jones and Wilkins, but he's going to be somebody who's good. They're going to be paying in the, you know, over $10 million a season to get, and probably going to have to get for more than one season, although he's not the youngest guy anymore.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on that. He's 29 years old. He'll be turning 30 this summer. And, you know, he's missed some time in his NFL career. And I think maybe that is something also to consider. This past season, he did play in 14 games. He played in 11 games the season before that. But this is also kind of the level of a player we would expect the Lions to maybe bring in. We're not going for that $20 to $25 million deal for somebody they don't know very well. If they could bring him in on a 1 or 2 year deal, that might be an ideal situation without overcommitting, but also knowing that we do need an upgrade and we think they're going to probably do something in the draft. But again, you don't always want to wait for the draft because things don't always land the way you think you're going to. And when you're drafting as late as us, it even adds more of a variable.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, and the Lions have just... Brad Holmes has shown the last 3 years what exactly he does in free agency. And I know people expected him to completely turn around and go 180 and buy all in and just sell out now that they're close to being, you know, Super Bowl contenders and everything. But he said in a press conference earlier, you know, I don't think so. That, you know, I'm not going to change my style. We're going to develop. You know, our main guys are going to come through the draft and then we're going to plug holes in free agency. They're not going to go out and sign superstar free agents for the most part. The guys that they added last year who were their profile free agents, CJ Gardner-Johnson and stuff, were guys who fell through the cracks in free agency and they got for bargain prices. They didn't pay big money for them. Same thing with Mosley. You know, they got him. They brought him back this season for even less. You know, gambling that they got a number one corner for backup money there, coming off an injury.
Yeah, after seeing what they did last year, because they were a little bit more aggressive. They got those guys you said, but getting Emmanuel Mosley and getting David Montgomery, those were big. The Montgomery one was. You know, it was a $6 million deal, so maybe that didn't register too high. But he was one of the best, if not the best, running backs out there. And so that made you think, ooh, what are we going to do? But you said it right. They spent responsibly on these moves. And so that's what we're seeing happen again. And they've been drafting so well that it almost feels wrong to kind of go in the opposite direction. And you know that the best way to build a good team is through rookie contracts and build your own players up and then extend your own players. And so they're sticking to the plan. And that's why we're seeing the defensive line moves the way we are so far, or lack thereof. It doesn't mean they're done. They've got DJ Reader coming in. Something may happen with him. Something may not. But I would be surprised if they don't add at least somebody else to this defensive line before the draft.
Yeah, if they're bringing him in on Thursday, that means that they want to get a look at his medicals, which means that it's fairly serious, like that they're in on him. So it's more than just some of these rumors that we've heard on other players that the Lions are in on this guy, in on that guy, and then nothing ends up coming about it. You know, he's actually visiting here, so it's a pretty decent chance. You know, so that would be a huge addition to the defensive line, I think, and the defense as a whole.
I agree, because then we all know if the defensive line is a little bit better, getting pressure, that helps the secondary out. Well, James, this secondary is going to look a lot different than last year's secondary. There's zero doubt about that. And let's hope that it goes better than last year, because last year I thought we were in great shape. I was really excited about our secondary. And seeing the moves the Lions made this year on the secondary so far, I think most fans are underwhelmed, and maybe that's exactly where we need to be. So right now, the first thing the Lions did was they traded for Carlton Davis from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, Davis fits that profile a little bit of having missed some games. He missed 5 games last year. He missed 4 the year before that and 7 the year before that. And this is his final year of his contract. It's a $14 million year. The Lions could do something to try to soften that, whether they extend him or do something else. Now, he was introduced today. It sounds like they've had some conversations, but nothing's imminent about any sort of extension. Carlton Davis made a comment of wanting to get his feet wet first. But This is a trade that a lot of people weren't too sure about, a little bit surprised about, of why would you trade for this guy? And you're giving up a third round pick, but Brad Holmes got a sixth round back and a sixth round next year. So we've got that trade. We've got Amik Robertson signing, 2-year deal. And we've got CJ Gardner-Johnson leaving. And we already had Tracy Walker leaving. So let's start with the outside, or let's start with the defensive back position. Then we'll move over to safety. So what is your take on the Carlton Davis trade?
I like the move. Carlton Davis is a guy who, when healthy, is a plus number one cornerback in the league. He's not your Darrell Revis type corner or anything like that, but he is a very good sticky man corner. Doesn't necessarily produce interceptions, just covers his guy well. But he allows the defense to play man defense too, which would allow more blitzing if you wanted to, or to play some zone underneath on the tight ends. And covering tight ends last year was not a strength of this defense either. He excels in that. And they got the two extra sixth round picks. You know that that Holmes likes to trade around during the draft, so that gives him a little bit of extra ammo to do that. And I could see them totally extending him, adding a year or two to that contract. And so then he would be they get him through about his age 30 year, which is kind of when corners and those speed positions kind of drop off a little bit. So I could totally see that. He's not cheap, but he's not prohibitive either. I mean, $14 million is about what a starting corner goes for nowadays. Pretty close to what they gave Cam Sutton last year.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure what to expect from Carlton Davis because that's not a name that I knew very well. But having done a little research, I believe it was Jamar Chase who said Carlton Davis is one of the best defensive backs he's played against. And I think we also know, we've heard it over and over, but it's the scheme. Carlton Davis even said, he said this in his conference, he said, turn on me against top receivers and see their stats when I'm on them. He goes, not when I'm in the slot running away from me, not when I'm in zone, when I'm in man-on-man press. He goes, turn on that film and let me know what you think. He's a fairly confident person, and I like this trade a lot. The more I think about it, the more I look into it, because you're right. He was the number one defensive back in Tampa last year, and that's what we're looking for, is a number 1A, 1B defensive back. And a guy that can play physical, because when we started blitzing late in the year to get that pressure, we did not have physical enough defensive backs to keep up with that and allow it to happen. And so the Carlton Davis trade is great in that aspect, that we're going to use him more in the man than he was used for over in Tampa. And pairing with him is Amik Robertson, who also is a fairly physical defensive back. And so he is signed for a 2-year, $9.5 million deal, about 9.25 with incentives. And if you're wondering how expensive that is, if I'm not mistaken, Jeff Okuda is getting like a $4.5 million deal from Houston or somebody else. So you're looking at it, something similar as far as cost goes. Now, Robertson has appeared in 52 games with 21 starts for the Raiders. And a lot of people are calling him a slot guy due to his size, but if you look at the stats, they don't necessarily all add up. He's played 423 snaps in the nickel and 965 outside. This is according to Mike Payton. And so, you know what? He has flexibility in his game, James, and that might be another thing the Lions like.
Well, yeah, we know they like that, those kind of guys that have can do a Swiss Army knife, I guess is the term. And if he plays the slot, then that frees up Brian Branch to maybe play a little more safety, or just to have different looks where he plays safety, or the ability to move him back to safety if there's some injuries there, because really they only have two starting safeties under contract, and that's about it, other than guys who were on the practice squad last year. So, so safety is not a deep position like it was last year. They've lost Tracy Walker, they lost CJ Gardner-Johnson, they lost Will Harris. So their depth at that position is kind of wiped out so far. So this helps, and the Lions needed a nickel corner and somebody who can play outside if need be. So with those signings, and then bringing back Mosley, who's a guy who when healthy, is a potential number one corner. The depth in the secondary, at least at corner now, is looking like a strength, and at safety is not.
Yeah, a little role reversal from last year, and I like it. We're bringing Emmanuel Mosley back, who, again, we thought was a smart and a almost obvious thing from the beginning, but we're relying on him less. We don't have him as high up as a need of he's got to be a starter for us. No, it's hopefully right. It'll work out, but we've got some other guys in here that we're expecting good things from. And I expect the Lions to, you know, maybe draft a defensive back still. I'd probably be surprised if they don't. But again, the draft has to fall a certain way, and we'll get to more of that when we get to the draft. But defensive back-wise, whether they draft or they bring somebody else, you know you need more guys on the roster. But the top end is looking a little bit stronger than the way it ended last season.
Yeah, for sure. If you watch, the Lions played the Buccaneers twice last year, once early in the season, once in the playoffs. If you watch, go back and rewatch those games, Carlton Davis was not the guy getting burned. The Lions were not really targeting him, weren't able to do much against him. The only highlight where he's going to stand out is the one where he got trucked by Netflix.
Yes, I remember that. And I've seen that on social media since, but you're right. We didn't go after him. I think they said like 29 yards passing or something is what the Lions had against him. But yeah, so the secondary, as far as defensive back, is looking healthier. We didn't grab a big name that everybody wanted. We didn't trade for L'Jarius Sneed, which, again, draft picks and a contract like that, that is tough. Secondary safety, though, Tracy Walker got released. Doesn't mean he won't get re-signed. There's always that chance. We just weren't going to pay that salary. And Tracy might find a work elsewhere. CJ Gardner-Johnson's a guy a lot of fans were hoping would not leave. And I know I didn't think he would come back for a couple of reasons. One, I didn't think he was going to want to be here if he wasn't the full-time starter. And we saw with the emergence of Ifeatu Melifonwu that the Lions has had a hard time keeping Ife on the bench. And it was a rotation when CJ came back. And the contract, we thought he might get a contract. He did it actually higher than I thought. 3 years, $33 million from Philly. Great for him. Awesome. The Lions weren't going to put that kind of money into the safety position, knowing they had to get some defensive backs on the outside and maybe a defensive lineman.
Yeah. I mean, if 3 years and $33 million, the Lions were not going to do that. So, you know, and, you know, I don't know that they got a lot of production out of him last year. We were excited to see him on the field. When he came back, he didn't seem like the same guy that he was when he played for the first couple of games and in the preseason. So, you know, I don't know how much they're going to miss him.
Yeah, I was thrilled that first game against Kansas City. I think you and I were joking around right away, like, can we extend this guy right now? But yeah. With that money, with that cost, knowing we need it in other areas, and that we've got Kirby Joseph and Ifeatu Melifonwu. Now, we need some depth, and we want some quality depth, because we saw what we had to go through last year. You know, the name most Lions fans have thrown out is Quandre Diggs, to bring him back. I would be really happy to bring him back. I would be happy to bring in a veteran safety who's got starting experience with upside to come in there. And then maybe you draft somebody. Maybe it's somebody else that we haven't heard of, but you're going to have to bring another safety in because you need it for depth. The Lions don't have a lot on there at that point, but I like the moves that we've done in the secondary in general.
Yeah, I think so. They're not glitzy, but they help the team. The more glitzy moves are going to come in the draft, I think, at least ones that are down the road. I mean, at least the Lions aren't paying Joe Flacco $8.7 million.
That's some money. And you know what? Let's look at some people around our division that have made some moves. All right, the Chicago Bears, Green Bay Packers, and Vikings. Well, the Vikings lost Kirk Cousins to a tune of $45 million a year to the Atlanta Falcons. Now, that gives them a lot of money to do stuff with. So they signed Sam Darnold for $10 million, I believe. They also signed Aaron Jones to a one-year deal. Why did they sign Aaron Jones? Because Green Bay cut him and signed Josh Jacobs to $12 million a year. They also added Xavier McKinney, a good safety. And the Chicago Bears signed DeAndre Swift to an $8 million a year deal. That's a three-year deal for $24 million. So we legit have musical chairs of running backs going on. The only way things could get any better is if Dalvin Cook would somehow come back to the NFC North and sign with somebody. Otherwise, yeah. it's pretty good.
Maybe the Lions signed Alexander Mattison as their third running back or something.
That could happen. Or maybe Green Bay goes and grabs him. So we've seen some moves from the others in the division. What are your thoughts? Any initial reactions to any of those moves?
Yeah, the Vikings were pretty aggressive in going out and getting a few guys. The Bears signed the defensive back from the Packers, who was a free agent. I don't know if you saw it, but I think it was Ian Rappaport had a pretty funny tweet about it.
Are you talking about Owens?
Yeah.
Yeah, the reason I knew he got signed is because Simone Biles tweeted it and talked about it. So she mentioned not having to get connecting flights and stuff. So also Minnesota signed a defensive end from Houston. So we are in a good division, and we are seeing these teams make some moves.
Yeah, the Bears also lost Darnell Mooney, so they've lost their number two receiver. They signed Gerald Everett, so they got a second good tight end to pair with Cole Kmet. But, I'm still not all that worried about the division. I think the Packers are the team to worry about.
Yeah, I do think the Packers will be a team that's trying to get better. I mean, they went from Aaron Jones to Josh Jacobs. Aaron Jones was a great runner, the hard runner, had a hard time staying healthy a little bit. Josh Jacobs, arguably the second best running back in free agency this year. And they got Xavier McKinney as well that I mentioned. So I think the division is not going to be easy. I think it's going to be tougher than last year, to be honest with you, because I think as long as Minnesota has a healthy quarterback and all those other additions they made, it's going to be closer.
Well, the Lions will have Sam Darnold seeing ghosts.
Yeah, well, I hope so. If it's like the first pass Sam Darnold threw against the Lions, I'm okay with that. If it's the rest of that Monday night game for the Jets, let's try and block that out of our memory.
Yeah, that was a Matt Patricia era.
Yeah, a whole different time. Out of our memory. Yeah, exactly. So that's what's going on around the division. You know, the Lions made some rule change proposals. I don't know if you saw this, but it was announced today that they're hoping, I don't know if it'll happen, it'll get voted on later on, but some that they put in was they wanted to make it so that if you get one of your first two challenges correct, that you get a third challenge. They want to add a third challenge if you get one of the first two correct, not having to get all of it. The other thing that they were looking at maybe moving back the trade deadline. Them and five other teams wanted to go to like week 10. I think Pittsburgh wanted to go to week 9. I would be surprised if the trade deadline thing doesn't happen. I think there might be enough movement for that. And they had some IR stuff they wanted to look at as well. So that'll be interesting.
The trade deadline thing just seems very common sense, that the trade deadline is way too early, especially when you're adding games to the season now. The teams are going to want to make moves. And so I think moving the trade deadline back is going to be better for everybody. Add some more excitement to the league too, when you get, the transaction on top of the action.
So as we progress here in free agency, because it's only the end of the first official day. I mean, it feels like day three, because we had those 2 days of legal tampering. But there's going to be more moves made this week and next week even. And there's some guys, Alliance, we don't know what's going to happen with them. Josh Reynolds is probably the biggest name that most people are wondering about. Will he come back? Will he not? How much of a contract is he going to fetch, considering that Gabe Davis got $13 million a year? You saw somebody else get the similar contract. That person's name is escaping me offhand right now. Oh, Darnell Mooney, that's who it was. And then you saw Calvin Ridley get like $27 million, like 4 years for $92 million. And so that contract there has you wondering, okay, how about this Amon-Ra St. Brown extension? Is that coming? What's that going to look like? And does the Kirk Cousins deal affect Jared Goff with his extension? And what will that look like? And when will that come to fruition? So there's going to be a lot of things to look at over here the next week or two.
Yeah. A couple of other rules that the Lions proposed rule changes would be, one would be an unlimited number of players can return from injured reserve, which right now there's a cap on that. You can only have so many designated to return. And they also want to eliminate the requirement for a player to be in the active roster for a day after cutdowns to be eligible to be designated to return from injured reserve.
Yeah, those procedural things. And that will be looked at an owner's meeting later in this offseason. And we'll see what comes from it. I know Another hot topic in football right now is the reworking of the kickoff, because they've called it basically a procedure that is nothing. Everyone just kicks it out of the end zone and there's no kick return. So we'll see what happens with that.
Interesting proposal, I think, the onside kick proposal, which would be that they would replace doing an onside kick with a going for it on 4th and 20.
And that would be good. Another thing I heard them talking about was you can only do an onside kick if you tell the other team you're doing an onside kick. And so that takes away an element of surprise. So,
yeah.
All right, James, anything else, any other thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I'm just looking to see. I'm looking forward to seeing what bargain basement deals Brad Holmes gets here in the next few days, like he has the last couple of years in free agency towards the end. You know, after the first couple of days when all the big money guys go, when he swoops in and gets the bargain guys.
Well, that's exactly it, right? He's not going to do that big, heavy shopping early on. He's going to look for the bargain bins. And that by no means is a disrespect to any of the players. It's he's looking for the right player to fit the team at the right price, because you want to pay them a fair price, an adequate price, but you don't want to pay in a way that is going to prevent you from being able to fill out your team with the way you want it.
Yeah, you don't want to overpay. You don't want to pay somebody from the outside so much that it creates some kind of animosity in the locker room either. You know, they've shown over the course of the years they like to bring guys in on reasonable contracts and re-sign and pay their guys that they draft and develop that way.
All right, folks. Well, if you were hoping the Lions were going to hit a home run with free agency, it might be a home run. You just might not realize it. But let me just say something here about home runs. Hitting home runs is nice. But when it's cold outside, you got to get those singles and doubles, because the ball does not travel as far. I hope you're liking this baseball analogy, because there are unfortunately some Detroit Tigers teams that can relate to not being able to hit singles and doubles when they needed them in the late postseason. And the Lions are building for that postseason. So let's see what happens with the rest of this free agency. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. While you're at it, tell your friends about the show. Please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. And until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.